If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes. Because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflitz.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflitz right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. This show, Mind Your Business, is all about you. It's all about sharing success and business strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Each week, we feature a high-profile guest and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Last week, we had David Yale from Just Born, a really fantastic interview. David Yale is the COO of Just Born, an operation that has over 600 team members, and what they're all about is candy. And we know that the Mike and Ike's, Goldenberg's peanut chews. I would say it's a sweet interview, but that may just be a pun. But, I mean, the feedback has been tremendous from someone with such great insight. Really, all our listeners were able to benefit and have great takeaways. In case you missed it, it's all up on our iTunes channel. You can get there. You can get it easily by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. And right there, you click on the iTunes store. You'll have access to all the past interviews that you may have missed. And it's just an incredible lineup from over the last few months. It's all there on WABCBizRadio.com. Well, I'm sure our listeners are waiting with anxious breath. I'm going to turn to Pesach here. Last week we had a bit of a contest. The folks at Just Born were gracious enough to give out a couple of prizes. And Pesach, do we have a winner?
We do, actually. And we don't have a name, though. So check your inboxes, and you will be notified.
Whoever had entered?
Yeah, we'll be notified, the winner of the Mike and Ike earbuds and tumbler. So make sure to check your inbox,
cool. And
you'll see if you're the lucky winner.
Pretty cool. We're going to announce another contest in the coming weeks, and then, again, you'll have another chance to enter and to win. Well, we're going to move to our guest. On this Sunday night. In studio with us, we have none other than Adam Lieberman, president of the Lieberman Group. Some background about our distinguished guest. Mr. Lieberman is a nationally renowned sales trainer, executive coach, and business consultant. He helps executives and companies explore the key elements involved in developing an effective and lasting sales team. With that intro, I welcome Adam Lieberman to the studio. Adam, how are you?
Thank you. Very good. Very happy to be here. Thank you.
It's a real honor and a treat. A lot of people have been asking us, say, we need sales training, sales advice. Could you get a master at sales? And I said, we're working on it. I told Pesach. They said, we got to get Adam Lieberman in the studio. And you were gracious enough to come down. This is going to be one great interview. And by the way, in a couple of days from now, we're going to have the video ready from this. You'll be able to actually see the highlights of what happened in the studio. And there are a couple of other videos. If you go to, what's the simplest way? Probably Pesach. If you go to WABCBizRadio.com, that's actually the best way. You scroll down to the bottom. There's already a couple of YouTube videos
exactly. Of
great interviews we had with Jeffrey Hazlett and the one with Jack Friedler.
Yes,
already up there. And in the coming days, the one with Adam Lieberman that you're going to hear during the show will be featured. Well, Adam, not sure where to begin because there's so much and the time will go by so fast, but let's jump right in. Whether someone's a sole proprietor or he's running a Fortune 500 company, sales is the lifeblood of any business. I mean, you've been training businesses of all sizes and of all types of industries. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, how does a company spot a great salesperson? What's advice you can give when they realize we need a great salesperson? Where did it begin?
Great question. And we hear that all the time in the trainings that we do. People are always looking to expand and grow their sales force. Mm-hmm. Obviously, salespeople is the one aspect of a company that's not an expense. I mean, people want to cut corners in a company or, you know, trim the fat, so to speak. You know, the last person that will be let go is a salesperson. They're the ones actually keeping the lights on and paying the bills. So salespeople, you know, really have a golden ticket in the business world for that reason. And when people ask me, you know, specifically, how do you find a great salesperson? There's a very big misconception that salespeople need to be fast talking and quick on their feet and very personal and outgoing. While some salespeople clearly have those attributes, there are many, many top sales professionals that could be more soft-spoken and could be more low-key, perhaps even an introvert. So they really come in all shapes and sizes. And the bottom line is there's some specific characteristics that every successful salesperson has throughout this interview. I'm sure we'll touch on them. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is there is no specific, shape or size or background a person must have to succeed in sales.
That's really interesting because my next question is, you know, is there and I'm sorry for holding on to mm-hmm. this, but just to have a guest like you, I got to. Is there a specific critical skill that a sales professional must have?
Yes. There's probably a few deal breakers, so to speak.
Okay.
And the few deal breakers are, you know, sales, by the nature of it, you're not an order taker. You know, you're not someone that just meant to make a presentation. You know, I'm fond of saying that selling isn't telling. You know, it's not just telling a story and hoping that, you know, things will come your way. You know more at that point than a glorified brochure. The fact is sales, human nature, and the way people that buy and the way people are designed, people reject things typically out of hand very often. And people, as a customer, consumers, will just say no because, without going into the weeds right now, someone's knee-jerk reaction most times is to reject what they're being told. And they need to be told it sometimes several different ways. And without being too pushy or being too persistent, you've got to come back and continually to make your case for why your product or service is something that the customer should need or that they should purchase from you. So the fact is a few deal breakers are, number one, persistence. You have to understand psychology of the buyer. It is not, I'm going to make my presentation, and if they want it, they'll come get it. That's not how life works. Number two, be able to handle rejection. When people reject you, you know, it sounds like a throwaway line, but it's very critical. You can't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. You know, one thing I teach salespeople across the country is when somebody says no, it's not N-O. It's I don't know, K-N-O-W, enough. Please tell me
That's
more.
That's a great tip.
And that kind of idea can keep someone really in the game. So the two major things I would say are be able to be persistent and be able to be okay with rejection, to know that's not a personal thing, it's just a human nature thing.
Now, by the way, I mean, that was just such an incredible tip right there about the no, not being N-O, K-N-O-W. And these are things that are actually going to go up my Twitter feed. You could follow me, YSaftless, at Twitter. And that's where we'll put up a lot of great insights that come up in tonight's interview and in the interviews that we do on a regular basis. Great insight, Adam. Next question is, and this comes up all the time, is there a difference in the approach between selling a product and selling a service?
Ultimately, people buy on three main specific reasons somebody will buy a product from somebody or a service from somebody. People do business with three reasons with somebody. Either they know them, they like them, or they trust them, and hopefully all three. They should know you, like you, and trust you. And someone gets to know you and trust you and like you, there's a very good chance they're going to purchase something from you because they have a level of comfort. It's not all about the cheapest price. If price was all the people cared about, then every sales guy would be out of a job. People just go online and buy everything, right? So the bottom line is, whether it's a product or a service, people want to speak to somebody. They want a human being there, and we'll touch, I'm sure, in terms of the new economy, how that's changed the landscape of salespeople. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you know, a product or a service comes down to the same thing. Obviously, a service, you have to explain more than a product typically, but the bottom line is the buying relationship, the buying that connection, and the buying that ability that they feel they can trust you and they know you and they like you, then you have a great chance of a successful sales encounter.
So on that note, I mean, when someone's making a sales call, let's say, whether it's in person or by phone, should a person connect by emotions or by logic?
Great question. You know, there's an old adage, people say that customers, you know, buy an emotion and they justify it later on every logical reason why it makes sense or doesn't make sense. So typically emotion is a very big hot button, and psychologists have proved this, you know, since the beginning of time that people buy an emotion. But, you know, you said very, very, very good point when you're on the phone with somebody. It happens so often, and every salespeople can relate to this, or people that aren't in sales can relate to this. Someone could be on the phone with someone speaking to them, and the other person never says a word. And there's no Skype, and there's no, you know, ability to see someone through an iPhone. But the fact is, they never say a word that your person is speaking to. And you can literally hear the person either with you or not with you. It's unbelievable. You can speak to somebody on the phone, and for 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half go by, you speak with them. They don't say a word. But as you're speaking, you literally feel a connection. They're with you or they're not with you. And I prove this point time and time again, because a lot of salespeople will find that success comes in streaks. They'll be successful, you know, in a burst, and then it goes cold for a while, which means that it was never the prospect, so to speak, that changed. The salesperson changed, because when you feel better, you feel the connection with the prospect.
So, again, this is flowing so fantastic, because my next question is there a particular motivation tip for a salesperson? I'm going to split this question into two. One is, how does a company motivate a sales force, which is really another animal. But then an individual, how could they get themselves into that groove, to get the passion, to get themselves going that their customers will say yes, their prospects will say yes?
You know, going back to how a company motivates a sales team, there's always, you know, the tried and true methods of incentives and contests and things. Sometimes people, which I don't advocate at all and I'm not a fan of at all, sometimes people motivate by fear, you know, that they tell people if they don't hit certain quotas, then, you know, things won't look so exciting for them. But the fact is, there's a lot of ways to motivate a sales team, but the number one way to motivate a sales team, if you're the owner of a company, you've got to give people a reason to believe in what they're doing. It can't just be a job. See, a salesperson, you know, you always see this all the time, that a top salesperson could be at IBM and then be same person could leave IBM, be a top sales guy at General Motors, then be top sales guy at Coca-Cola. Obviously, cars and computers and soda have nothing to do with each other. Why could a top salesperson go from industry to industry? Because the fact is, sales is 99% sales, 1% is the product. And if someone's talented in sales, they can very quickly learn the product, they can be around, which means the salesperson is always in demand. So a company has to recognize, to keep a salesperson motivated and happy, you know, you got to really remember, they have to have a product they believe in. The single most important sale you'll ever make will be to yourself. Do you believe in the product? So a sales company, you know, needs to make sure that the company that they're presenting to the salespeople, something that they truly believe, is something that warrants someone being there for a career, not for a job. In terms of second point you mentioned, in terms of a salesperson, how to keep their head in the game, so to speak, you know, it's about being a professional, being an amateur. You know, I deal with salespeople all over the country, and there are people that have been in sales for 20 years that sadly are still an amateur. People have been in sales for a week and are professional. And here's the difference. You know, to give the analogy, if you go to a Broadway play or you go to see, you know, somebody in concert, you know, they may have done that performance literally hundreds, if not thousands of times. And people say all the time, they went to a Broadway play. The play could have been literally, you know, on Broadway for 10, 15 years, same actors doing the same lines day after day, week after week. But when you go there, you spend a lot of money, and you plan this for weeks or months in advance. You want a person's A game. You don't care if they did it 1,000 or 2,000 times beforehand. So a professional has told me this in the past. They are professional for one reason and one reason only. For every single performance, it's opening night. Because for them, it's not opening night, but for you in the audience, opening night. So a salesperson, the reason why successful people succeed in sales, I've been to so many organizations and companies and businesses and sales teams and sales forces, you can never, ever tell if a top sales pro is having a quote-unquote bad day. He's always in a good mood. He's always fired up for one reason only. If you get rejected and you say how to deal, let's say I dealt with a guy in sales and perhaps he had a big commission on the line, and he worked hard on the deal, and at the last minute, the deal didn't work out. Let's make it up. Let's say he lost a $5,000 potential commission. Well, the next person you call has a chance to earn a commission. Most amateurs, this is very important, linger on to that thought. We do it in our own lives. We get a head start. Someday you have a day starts off a certain way and things linger. A pro knows how to cut that off. Because if you don't cut it off, you didn't lose $5,000. You maybe lost $10,000 or $15,000. Right. So a pro is able to know when I have somebody that doesn't go my way, I'm right back at him. Because my next prospect, he wants opening night. He doesn't care that I just got hung up on.
Fascinating insight. We're speaking with Adam Lieberman, president of the Lieberman Group, right here on Mind Your Business with Yisroel Saftlis on 77 WABC. Adam, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how could they get in touch with you?
Best way is probably through my offices, 908-783-2345, 908-783-2345.
Thank you. Now, a couple more questions before we take a break. Goal setting. How important is that for, I guess, keeping the eye on the ultimate prize for motivation or, however, goal setting for a salesperson, for a sales team?
Goal setting is not important. It is probably the single most important thing in sales because without a goal, everyone knows we are human beings and we have comfort zones and we have complacency. And, since the beginning of time, once again, psychologists have proven that a task – an activity will take as long or as short as you have for it. The joke is that, your expenses will meet your paycheck every time because if you get a pay raise, somehow your expenses go up. The fact is that in sales, since a lot of salespeople are either on straight commission or salary plus commission, ultimately they write their own check. The boss may sign it, the owner may sign the check, but the salesperson fills in the number. So people tend a lot of times to find their comfort zone either subconsciously or consciously where they're comfortable being. Without setting a bar for yourself, you can never push yourself outside of that. There's a lot of techniques I teach how to push yourself outside of comfort zone, but the most important thing is to keep in mind that a goal is a dream with a deadline. That's what a goal is. A goal is a dream with a deadline. Because ultimately, you have to know that anyone that sets a goal without a deadline is no more than just a dream.
I love that line. Again, I'm going to be tweeting that out. A goal is a dream with a deadline. What a great insight. Adam, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Back in 2014, you spoke at the Winning Edge Executive Business Conference, actually run by Bottom Line Marketing Group. You had a great quote over there. I'm going to quote verbatim. Time is the commodity you have. Find a way to spend the most time with the right customers. Talk about it.
Sure. I mean, the fact is salespeople, if they're professionals and they're working, they're making presentations all day long, and our only commodity, the only asset we have is our time. It is just as important to find out, and this is something that may sound counterintuitive, but it's just as important to find out, if not more so important, who a no is versus who a yes is. And when I do a lot of consulting for companies, one thing they found that was very effective for them is that they had a typical sales cycle, meaning that how long it took someone before you made a presentation to potentially you could ask for the order or they would purchase the product or service. Mm-hmm. That's called the sales cycle.
Okay.
They could even get onto first base, meaning they had to take a certain amount of time to make a presentation and then to see if they can move the ball down the field and to close the sale. Well, that was about a 45-minute to 1 hour time frame before they did that. I showed them, without it coming off too pushy at all, how to shorten that time frame to about 12 minutes on average, which meant after 12 minutes, they would know in a very non-threatening way if they can proceed. So a no was found out, in some cases, a half hour earlier. What that allowed someone to do is spend more time on the potential yeses.
Right.
So a no is very important to get early on. The person is qualified.
Wow, so you're saying, it's a great point, that actually getting to that no, an outright no, and it is actually a gift to a big degree because then, okay, I know I got to move on.
Right. I used to give a talk called How to Get to Know Quickly.
Well, we don't want too many no's.
I'll tell you, we all want yeses, but the thing is that in sales, again, I'm going back to psychology, and people that are top in sales know how human nature works. The fact is studies have shown this, they'll say no 5 to 7 times before they say yes. That's why advertisements are on the air time and time again, and eventually it picks up steam and people actually make a commitment to purchase. So the fact is, although you don't want to get a no, you do want to get some no's out of the way, because you want to get the no's early so you can proceed to get the final yes. And if it takes you, you know, an hour or a week to get the first no, knowing there's going to be three or four no's before you get the yes, I want those no's in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. Now let's talk about, you know, we are living in 2015 going into 2016. Has the sales process changed because of new technology?
Excellent. You know, I hear this all the time, the new economy, new technology, every 5 seconds things are happening different in the world. And you know, salespeople, you know, have never, ever been in more demand or more needed than right now. And we think, my gosh, you know, people now can be, you know, in their pajamas, on their smartphone, you know, purchasing and buying the world. But the fact is, salespeople, the right kind of companies leverage salespeople with new technology, and it's a grand slam. Those who rely just on websites, listen, if you're going to buy something strictly on price and you're looking for the cheapest paper clip, you know, a salesperson necessarily may not be, you know, that be their niche, right? Because someone's going to go on certain websites, find the cheapest, you know, product. Mm-hmm. But many, many, many products don't fall in that. Most products don't fall in that category. People want someone they have a relationship with. So the best companies I've seen to able to leverage this, they understand that it's marketing plus sales team or salesperson equals big time success. In fact, I know obviously bottom line marketing,
your
company is phenomenal, and people have used you. I know, you know, there's many clients we share together. Edison Lithograph was one that
right.
I know that
Edison Litho.
And they're phenomenal, and I know that they've been able to leverage marketing connected with sales. It brings, you know, that's what people want, because people, a lot of times, this is the distinction you must make between what a website does and what brochures do and what it's meant to do. It's not meant to sell, in my opinion, it's not meant to sell. It's meant to get a customer or a prospect interested enough to go ahead and find out more, and the salesperson can then take, but ultimately, that website, what I found that companies will leverage it, is literally just a way to get on first base, get somebody in the door to get more information, to follow through to the next step, to go ahead and say, I'm interested in what I saw, what's the next step? That's very key, because as a website is not going to sell, and if you're looking to get the cheap way out to have websites replace your businesses, I can give you 100 companies to try that, and either they went out of business or they realized it was ineffective and they brought in a sales team. Mm-hmm. However, if you're going to sell something out there, the key is bring on top salespeople, train top salespeople, leverage that with the new economy, and you have a chance to be a grand slam.
Now, you brought up a great point, and I still want to get back for the listeners. So we're going to come back in a moment to the synergy between marketing and sales. But I still want to, forgive me, I just want to hold on to my original question. Are there any particular tools today, like for the salesperson's benefit, meaning should they be on LinkedIn? How could they use LinkedIn or any other tools that you would recommend that a salesperson can find prospects easier, quicker, etc.?
Again, you know, ultimately, the social media and every tool out there is great. I've seen this time and again when there's no easy way out. It's like the new diet that came out. You know, every 5 seconds a new
Tell
diet.
Tell me about it.
Every 5 seconds a new diet came out. Every year, you know, the bookshelves are filled with new diet books. I say the same thing. Diet books don't work, and sales books don't work. I mean, because if a diet book came out and said, you know, eat less and exercise, it would sell one copy. So they come out instead with, you know, the new fad diet, you know, eat this, don't do this, jump on your head, eat grapefruits 2 times a day. Sales the same way, you know. Sales not about getting the best website, being on all the social media sites, and hoping for the best. Those are great things. They can help you tremendously. But, you know, use the example like a personal trainer. A personal trainer in a gym, you know, can do great things for you. He'll show you the best exercises, the best equipment, the quickest way to get it. But he can't break a sweat for you. You know, he'll do everything but break a sweat for you. Right. So a personal trainer is analogous to all the social media tools out there. They'll make a good guy great, but you got to get on first base by yourself.
So this is a really great point, because this comes back to marketing and sales. So that the brochure, the website, the ad, the radio ad, the print ad, social media, all those things build up the case for the company and educate. But then the sales, without the sales, there's
no... You said it beautifully. It's like having a $100,000 sports car. Everything you said is a sports car. The sales person will always be the gasoline to get you where you, to get you where you want to go.
Amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break, but again, just want to talk about our guest for a minute, Adam Lieberman, a nationally recognized sales coach and trainer for many corporate clients out there. How could someone get in touch with you?
Best number is my office is 908-783-2345.
Again?
908-783-2345. And I know you mentioned maybe you'll tweet out my contact
information. Right, we'll have that information as well. You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saftalis right here on 77 WABC. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Our guest this evening is Adam Lieberman, president of the Lieberman Group, a nationally recognized sales coach and trainer for many corporate clients, again, nationwide. A couple of things I just want to mention. In case you're just tuning in, you already missed close to a half hour of incredible insights with Adam Lieberman. You'll be able to get it. The iTunes channel will feature, which featured all the past interviewees. It will be available. The easiest way to find it is go to WABCBizRadio.com. That's with a Z. WABCBizRadio.com. And it will be up. The interview this evening with Adam will be up there by Monday sometime, maybe by Tuesday morning at the latest. You'll also be able to hear some of the other incredible interviews that we've had over the past few months. Matt Britton, CEO of MRY, author of the book Youth Nation. We had an incredible interview with him all about marketing to millennials. What about the famous interview we had with Captain Sully Sullenberger? The New York Post talked about it. I mean, that was a really incredible interview. What about the interview with Stephen Aldrich, Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy? We can ask a question. How often should someone be updating their website? That would be an interview to listen to, because a Senior Vice President at GoDaddy, he'd know a thing or two about how often a person should update his website. And there's so many other incredible interviews. One more we have to get into. Jeffrey Hazlett, global business celebrity speaker and best-selling author of Think Big, Act Bigger. And what about the interview we had with Steve Pesach? You remember?
Sadoff, the
there
former
you go.
CEO.
I'm sorry to
Saks
get my producer on the spot there. But Pesach, I saw you wandering off there.
Yeah,
so
I said, make sure
Steven Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. That was an incredible interview just a couple of weeks ago. Sorry, Pesach. But by the way, a special big thank you, a shout out to Pesach Trapper, the executive producer of this program. Thank you very much for everything you do to always keep this moving along. So all the iTunes, all the past shows, they're up there on the iTunes channel. Thank you to Pesach. Thank you to Ira Bauman and so many others on the staff at Bottom Line Marketing Group that make this all happen on a regular basis. Well, Adam, we're back to putting you on the spot. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Well, call reluctance. Let's talk about call reluctance, right? Every salesperson's nightmare. How does someone deal with call reluctance?
There's a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, it goes back to the same deal breakers before. People don't like to be rejected. Although you need to be able to handle rejection, obviously, no one in their right mind wants to proactively be rejected. There's a couple of tips that I've taught over the years. One thing that was pretty effective is as follows. You know, if people can break down their sales presentations to a number. For example, if they know for every presentation they make, say they make 10 presentations, on average, on balance, they make one sale. So you can make 10 presentations, you're going to make one sale, just to give simple numbers. Mm-hmm. If you know for every sale you make, again, to keep it simple, you're making a $1,000 commission. You make 10 presentations, you get one sale out of 10. On that one sale, you're making a $1,000 commission. Again, round numbers. If you look at it a little differently, you say, you know what? I know that if every presentation I make, I don't know which one's going to buy, maybe number one, maybe six, maybe seven, maybe the 10th guy. But if I know on average I have to present 10 times to get one sale, and that one sale brings me a $1,000 commission, then in effect, for every presentation I'm making $100 for the presentation. So what sales pros know is, say, it doesn't matter whether you say yes or no. Of course they want the yes. But mm-hmm. they know ultimately my only job is one thing. I've got to give you my opening night performance. Whether you buy or don't buy, it's 1 out of 10. But I know when I complete my presentation, I gave it my opening night, I'm earning $100. Not zero for a no and not $1,000 for a yes. $100. Therefore, my core reluctance changes because I don't care whether you say yes or no, I'm making $100. So therefore, the more I can call, the more $100 I'm making, and that changed the psychology and the attitude of a lot of salespeople.
That's a great insight. Now, on that point, if there's an elusive client, but you know from doing your research that this client needs your service, they need your product, but just... you're just not getting through. They're just not taking your call. Is there any secrets you'd share with the listeners of Mind Your Business on 77 WABC?
There is, and it's the same thing that goes with every customer. How do you break through, you know, all the hard nuts to crack, or just any sale in general? It's the same philosophy. It goes as follows. You know, human beings have two separate, distinct, and powerful drives within them. Many drives, but when it comes to making a decision, two drives. Drive number one, so to speak, is that people are very afraid and loathe and don't want to make a decision. People put things off to the last second for everything. In our own lives, we know this is true. Before any kind of event, you know, whether it become, holidays, take care of your responsibilities. You know, studies would show that college, in people in college, the term papers, they could have, assignment that takes them, perhaps 2 months before it gets announced, and still the night before, they're still going to be working on the term paper because they know they had 2 months to complete it. So activities will take as long as people have that are told to accomplish it. Mm-hmm. So people put things off, and they don't like to make any decision. The second drive people have is people don't want to miss out. People don't want to miss an opportunity. So a true sales pro knows two things are happening within you. Number one is you don't want to change, don't want to make a decision, don't want to make any. Second thing is you don't want to miss out. You know, stores, Costco is a great example, but other stores do the same thing. They have a very liberal return policy. Mm-hmm. And customers know when they go there, they can buy something, and for whatever reason they want to return it, they can. So when someone's there, they know, are they buying something? Well, they're really not buying it because the decision is not making yes or no. The decision is I can always return it. And again, once again, and the sales demonstrate this, people that understand the buying habits know that people are afraid and don't want to make a decision. So the key to the answer to your question is the key to understanding how to break through that barrier of somebody is know one thing. You have to make a decision as simple and as non-threatening as possible. So the barrier to entry, so to speak, has been reduced. And once you're there, you can move up from there. So that's why the best way to approach any sale is to make, shouldn't be just a presentation, the drum roll, and close. That doesn't work. What does work is the relationship, slow yeses, which we can't get into the weeds right now, but slow, a series of yeses. Mm-hmm. And then you can go ahead and you've earned the right, so to speak, to ask for the business.
Fascinating. Adam, is there a best time to make a sales call? Hmm. Any tricks on that? Is it the morning? Is it the afternoon? Midday? Weekends? Any tricks on that?
The tricks is, listen, obviously if I say it right now, then every salesperson will call during those times, and that becomes the best time will be what's happening right now. But I think what I found is as follows, and you touched on it earlier, that a time is the only commodity, the only asset a salesperson has. So I teach every salesperson one powerful technique. I never waste a phone call. So if you're calling somebody up and you get a receptionist on the phone or you get the gatekeeper of the executive and you're not effective in getting the person you want to speak to on the phone, I never waste a phone call. I always ask for the person's name. So if you're calling a company on the phone and the person you want to speak to is not available, before you say thank you, goodbye, mm-hmm. I always say thank you so much and what was your name, please? And normally they'll give you the name. And it's very important data. The second thing I ask is most salespeople say, well, if Charlie's not in, when can I reach him? So most people will say, as a gatekeeper, a receptionist, or someone that knows a salesperson's calling, they'll say, well, I'm not sure, or just try your luck, or, you know, or, you know, any time's as good as any. So I ask a different question. I said, when is Charlie never available? Because then they'll always tell you, oh, he's never in between this time and this time. Then you just reverse engineer the time that he's actually going to be there.
That's pretty cool.
But then when you get the person's name, which is very important, you call back the next day or the next week. And instead of saying, hi, Charles Smith, please, you say, good morning, Sally. It's Adam Lieberman calling. Charles, please. So you never want to waste that phone call if the person's not in. Get as much data as you can.
That's incredible advice. Now, if someone is reaching out to a company, whether they're being blocked by a gatekeeper or they go straight to voicemail, any tips that if someone gets the voicemail, how to leave that incredible voicemail that they may get a call back?
Listen, I tell every salesperson, you can be cute and creative, and unfortunately people make a mistake. They say things that aren't true, and it's a big mistake. Number one, I teach every salesperson, never, ever, ever lie. Never make some story up. Don't say you spoke to somebody yesterday when you really didn't. It is the worst way to build your sales career. Having said that, when somebody, you know, leaves a voicemail message, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to create some aspect of curiosity. The more specific, I said it earlier, people don't like to make a decision. So if you, some people make the mistake of leaving a presentation on voicemail, that never works. Some people make the mistake of giving too much information. So what I do is keep a light, upbeat, specific, to point voicemail for one reason only. Number one, it encourages someone to call back to get the balance of the information. But second reason is this. People don't want to be bored or be sold. People do not like to deal with salespeople. It's a fact of life. So if your voicemail message is 3 minutes long, they're thinking either consciously or subconsciously, my gosh, if I call them back, it'll be a 30-minute phone call. So if I have a lot of brevity on my voicemail, it sends a message, I'll be very brief to the point when you call me back as well.
Great tip. Great tip. We're speaking with Adam Lieberman, a nationally recognized sales trainer, executive coach, and business consultant. Adam, I mean, you're giving such great advice, and we have in a few couple more minutes here for the show. How could someone get in touch with you?
Directly through my offices, 908-783-2345, 908-783-2345. In addition to sales training, groups, individuals, I work with many top producers, and I also work with business consulting, helping a company how to build and grow their sales team and build the business as well.
Wow. Lucky all those companies that have you.
Thank you.
You've been in the world of sales for many, many years, and you've seen different styles and approaches. You touched on this earlier, but I wanted to ask you about this. What do you think about storytelling? You touched on this earlier, but now let's elaborate. Are you for storytelling, against it?
In terms of what?
You know, you're going and you want to start engaging with a prospect. You know, do you go, are there any guidelines for?
Sure. I mean, it goes back to the three key elements. They have to know you, like you, and trust you. So people like people that are engaging. Having said that, and this is very important, if you're not a storyteller, don't be a storyteller. Some people are just very inept at telling stories. You know, people say, how do you start a conversation off? I'm not one to call somebody up and initially say, you know, on a cold call, good morning, how's your day going so far? To me, it sounds very disingenuous. People sometimes do that, and they feel it in the fiber of their being, and it's very genuine, and for them it works. The point is, there's not a one-size-fits-all, which is why I said before, honestly, sales books don't work, because it'll make a good person great. It'll give someone great tips and techniques. But ultimately, you have to find your voice, find who you are. And anyone could be a good salesperson. I said when we first started the show, you don't have to be outgoing or personable. You have to believe in something. And, you know, the word enthusiasm, Zig Ziglar, you know, one of the best sales trained and motivation speakers of all time, has a great axiom. It said, you know, enthusiasm, which is the key to successful selling, ends in the letters IASM. And he says it very well. It stands for I am sold myself. If you believe in something, you're enthusiastic about it, you share the message, and that becomes your story.
Great point. Now, Adam, once someone has made the sale and they're in with a certain company, any tips on retention? We know how hard it is to get a new client. And unfortunately, many people that at some point take that client for granted and they let it slip between their fingers, not appreciating and realizing. Maybe you could talk about that.
Sure. I mean, I, you know, sales companies always look – I'm sorry. Businesses always look how to increase their sales. Mm-hmm. And the first place I always look is one place. The lowest hanging fruit and the most upside for increased sales is to increase the buying power and increase the level of activity with current clients. Remember something. It is so much easier to go from a client that's, let's call it, numerical, a client that's a one on a scale of 1 to 5, let's say mm-hmm. 1 is not a lot of business and 5 is the most amount of business, mm-hmm. it's so much easier, infinitely easier, to go from 1 to 5 than from 0 to 1. So to get your foot in the door, it takes a lot of work and effort and time and commitment and talent. Once you're there, people want to stick with you if you develop that relationship. So forget about the adage of, I'm in the door, I made the sale, let's go to the next client. The amount of referrals you get from the relationship, the amount of increased business you get from the relationship, forget just not taking it for granted. The key to building a successful business in sales, treat every client like they're gold, because they are gold. And if you can do that, you can maximize that relationship.
Hmm. Adam, we all know, I don't want to say it's the elephant in the room, but maybe it is to many people. We touched on it earlier. Let's face it. Salespeople have to deal with rejection, right? They're on the phone. They knock on doors. And sometimes the phone gets slammed on them or rejection. We talked about a call. Still, any particular tips and tricks or advice that someone could just pick themselves up and forge ahead?
One thing and one thing only, and you must understand the one adage, and if you can own this, I've seen it time and time and time again, over 25 years of doing this, is one thing. Every time somebody rejects what you're selling, they're not rejecting you. It's not you. Don't take it personally. People just say no. And there's billions of yeses out there. But the only way to get the yes is to literally come back the next phone call like it's opening night. Because the person you're calling is going to be the yes. Let me tell you what. If they hear that you just got rejected in your voice and they hear you're down, that yes now became a no. So the yeses are out there. They're only out there. Remember, you get a yes. I give this story all the time. You know, I knew someone growing up that had a brand new car. And they came home and they said, my gosh, my car is amazing, brand new car. But look what happened. And I look at the car and I see this big dent on the hood. And I go, well, how'd you get the dent? They go, oh, it was at the supermarket, and someone very inconsiderate, let their shopping cart glide down and it dented my brand new car on the door. And I couldn't find any ding on the door. I saw this big dent on the hood. I said, how'd the shopping cart flip over onto the hood? They go, no. I was so upset at the ding, I took my fist and I punched the hood. Now, you couldn't see the ding, you only saw the hood. What's the point? That sometimes it's not the first no that gets you down. It's the yes that you blew that really is the issue. Mm. So you keep rejection in perspective. It was one call. Listen, every professional athlete heard it from every coach since they were in the locker room from high school. If they lose a game by big numbers, let's what? It's our next game. It was one loss. If you let the loss fester game after game, it's a disaster. You've got to cut your losses at the first loss and you go on. And that's the key from an amateur to professional.
Attitude. That's in one word, if we had to put that would be something. You got to be wired to be ambitious, have a proactive, optimistic attitude, and just forge ahead.
Right, but again, people say why, which is why a misconception is people feel like you have to walk around happy-go-lucky, being in a good space, and that's salespeople to succeed need that. But you can teach yourself that. I mean, the fact is, if you have a product you believe in, something you truly believe is going to help people, would you buy the product yourself? You know, and you believe in something, guess what? You know, that's a compelling message, and people will reject you. I give the example, you know, about rejection. I said, you can take the phone book, any town USA. And I'm going to give you, let's say someone came to you and said, listen, I'm going to give you 10 envelopes. I'm putting a $20 bill in every envelope. I want you to call through the white pages, call 10 people at random, and say the following. Mr. Jones, I want to mail you a $20 bill in the mail. What's your correct address? Everybody's going to hang up the phone on you. It's all legitimate. I'm giving you a $20 bill to mail the person. They're going to reject you and hang up on you because people just don't trust what people say. It's a knee-jerk reaction, even though it's true. So when someone rejects you, don't take it personally. Don't think the product has any faults. If you believe in the product, come back a second and third time, and this happens all the time. Success comes in bunches. Keep your head in the game. You get a success, and then things start to roll. You know, things start to really happen from there.
Now, Adam, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you don't have the answer, then feel free. Are there any great stories from your lifetime of experience that someone has converted from a no to a yes? That they've been knocking on the door, they got rejected, but then, bam, one day that came along and they had their dream account.
Sure, I'm going to say 2 points on that. There's a fine line between persistence and stubbornness. Right? Persistence and stubbornness. Although you have to be persistent in sales, you have to, again, our time's a commodity. You have to know when to cut your losses. So to get the no to a yes, you have to ask a lot of people for the order. But ultimately, if they say no and then the wrong type of people you're speaking to, let's not be stubborn about it and let's go on to the next person. That will increase your chance of a great thing. Second point is we've got to think big. You know, I heard a great story. My first sales trainer way back when, my boss many years ago, told me he was on a plane and sitting, you know, in first class, a business class, and, you know, he turned to the person next to them, they had a conversation, and, you know, he presented himself in a certain way, and when it came down to it, after a week later, he lost the deal. And he told the story, one reason only, because he thought that in his world, let's make it up, let's say $100,000 of this product was something that was significant. Well, the gentleman he spoke to, that was nothing. He was looking for someone to have the ability and desire to ask for a much larger order because sometimes the bigger someone is, the more confident they are in terms of asking for a significant order. Don't be afraid to ask for something meaningful. You're not speaking to, you know, you have to project an image of the fact that you really deserve this person's business and that what you have to offer is of value and therefore you've earned the right to ask for it, but don't be afraid. So the story I always tell people is one simple thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always shoot big. You can always come down. You can't go back up. In baseball, they teach every outfielder, play deep. You can run in. You can always run in. It's a lot easier to run in for a fly ball than to run back out for one. Play deeper. You can always come down. You can't go back up.
Adam, it's an incredible treat to have someone of your stature and some of your background and talent with us on Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. Any final thoughts as we approach the close? Any final thoughts for our audience?
You know, there's always tons of things to say about to have someone increase their sales, why they should enter the sales profession. I believe anyone can be successful in sales. I believe sales is the one occupation out there that will forever be, you know, economy proof. A good salesperson is never out of a job. And they have to, you know, find the most important thing for a salesperson to find a product you believe in. If what you're selling right now, you would not by yourself, we not recommend to your friends and family, you know, perhaps you should find a different product or service to sell because you must believe in what you're doing is something right now that can benefit people, can help people. If you do that, the sky's the limit.
Amazing. Adam, thank you so much for being with us. This is Adam Lieberman, president of the Lieberman Group, for sharing some incredible business advice, of course, in the world of selling. Again, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
908-783-2345, 908-783-2345.
Adam, it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this commercial break on 77 WABC.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best, Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, I'm joined, as I mentioned earlier in the program, with Pesach Trapper, the producer of this program. And we're actually going to talk about, as we've done in the previous shows, a case study for a client and a project that we've done at Bottom Line Marketing Group. Pesach, who are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to be talking about one of our friends and client, the November team. But really what today is going to be a discussion about effectively bringing out a brand's message or messaging. We all know how critical bringing out our messaging to our clients and customers are. A brand's messaging communicates what defines the company, what differentiates it, and what it stands for.
Right.
So when Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud, who have been on the air with us,
right, they filled in great friends,
right, approached us at Website with Brains, which is the web development department
at Bottom Line,
with the request for a web makeover for their well-renowned PR firm's website.
And I can just correct you for a second. It was more than a web makeover. I'm talking about
a brand new website. Yes. So we were very excited to take on the challenge. And with their philosophy of, as they said themselves, and it's on their website, audacity, audacity, always audacity, we knew things couldn't be that simple.
That's right.
Yeah, so just a little bit about the November team. The November team is a full-service strategic communications firm specializing in every facet of PR and public relations. Their work is literally everywhere and appeared in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I mean, they're definitely out there. They've played major decisive roles in electoral and political affair campaigns, and even greater, they've been key in specifically the election for Bob Turner.
Right, which we worked alongside them. They handled PR. We handled marketing within specifically the Jewish demographic. And that was an incredible race. And personally, I have to tell you, there were a lot of signs and a lot of winners in that race. But I personally felt that Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud were the key reasons why Bob Turner won that race. But that was my own take.
So clearly the November team is out there, and they've had a very unique approach to how they position themselves, what they're all about.
Right.
So we wanted to really bring that out and their unique personality of their firm.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously through the copy and of the text and everything that's in the website. But even
we develop it from A to Z.
And more so, the entire look and feel of the website, we wanted to represent that same personality, which they coined audacity, audacity, always audacity. We, sat down with our design team.
Right,
we
the kind whole of, team. To start.
We sketched out what we had in mind, and we developed a concept around, something combining modern,
right,
with kind of a sleek look, along
bold. Along bold, being bold.
But also incorporating their vintage style newspaper, style, which is one of Bill really loves that. He talks about his typewriter. He still connects with that vintage look, but at the same time, as their firm represents this bold, modern edginess to them, we needed to combine that and create something that really put that not only in the words they're using, but even the overall look and feel of the website. So the presentation was designed to align with the firm's aggressive approach and ever-changing fast pace of the news outlets that they've secured coverage in and partner with. The site is really something unique and catchy and aggressive, like they say. And we definitely encourage everyone to check out that website. It's novemberteam.com. The novemberteam.com is
www.novemberteam.com.
And as their motto is, think positively and move decisively, we think we captured that in the website. Our bottom line action steps is define your brand. And interesting about defining your brand, some people have a hard time with that. I'll kind of invite our listeners, if they really want to, we have a great card game at Bottom Line Marketing Group. It's kind of funny, but it's helpful.
Yeah.
It's called Brand Deck. that we've been using to play with our clients, that helps them define their brand. So anybody, you know, shoot me an email if you want to set up a time to come play some cards so we could define your brand. But that's the number one thing, which is critical for every business: define your brand and communicate your brand's uniqueness and personality through as many ways as possible.
Al Pesach, I cannot thank you enough for bringing that out. NovemberTeam.com. Of course, you gave really a synopsis of the way we approach marketing or branding any client that we have. Really going through these steps is really builds the fundamental process of understanding our clients and then taking their product out there, whether it's a product or service or whatever their industry is. But it's always about understanding them. And like you said, and then building the package around it into whatever the executable is, whether it's a website, whether it's a brochure, it's an ad, a radio ad, a print ad, their social media. Understand the client's experience. Understand the client, what they're all about. And then package it and get it out there. Well, friends, this brings to the close another great evening. Another great Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. In case you missed it, go to WABCBizRadio.com and stay tuned for Red Eye and tune in again next Sunday evening at 11 p.m. for Mind Your Business on 77 WABC.
WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.